I'm excited to get to preach through this passage today because I'll be honest with you, I love it. I just love this passage that we're talking about today. If you've got your Bible with you, go ahead and get it out. We're going to Acts chapter 11. We've been walking through the book of Acts now for, I don't know, several months. And I love getting to preach this way. I love getting to see how God chooses what He wants us to share and teach on based upon just going through a book and, you know, expository preaching. Because it's not me picking out what I think we need. It's Him, in my opinion, getting to do that for us. And so it's amazing the timing that He has, because guess what? He's God, and He can do that. And it's amazing. So I recommend if you're not studying Scripture, you know, try that in your own life, in your own walk with Him. Listen to Him through His Word. Read through a passage. Read through passages. Read through a book. Pick a chapter. I don't care. You know, I'll be honest with you. I switch up. People ask me all the time, how do you study your Bible? I switch it up all the time. This is probably, it may train wreck other people to hear this, but I think it might be helpful for some people because maybe you've tried it different ways. And there's some weeks that I just take one passage and I'm hammering that passage all week long. I'm just trying to figure out all week long, what in the world is God trying to say to me through this passage of Scripture? And I may just study that passage all week. And it may be like two or three verses. And I'm just all week and every day I'm looking at it and I try to keep it with me on my phone or something where, you know, just in down times, driving down the road, I can pull it back up, think about it, pray over it. God, what are you saying here? And it's amazing how God can use His Word. There's just power in God's Word. It's His Word. And so I love it. But today we're talking about Acts chapter 11. And we've been going through the book of Acts. And this particular passage is just a little bit of a kind of a recap, I guess you will, of things that we've already seen in Acts at the very beginning here anyway. But it's kind of setting up some things that are happening in this passage. And the recap is very short, mind you. But we skipped the first part of chapter 11 because it was kind of recapping what we talked about last week in chapter 10. And so you can go back and check that out and see how God used that. But basically, that was where Peter, after, you know, all of the stuff that he was going through with everybody, basically was kind of catching grief for trying to minister to the Gentiles from his buddies. And then he had to explain to them, you know, what was going on with that. Let me kind of back up just a little bit. Let me say this so that you can kind of have a clear understanding as we walk through this today of Jew and Gentile. Now, I think that just a generational thing or whatever. We start hearing stuff like that. Like you start hearing somebody talking about Jew and Gentile and like you're just like, I'm checking out. He's not talking to me. That doesn't have anything to do with me. That's not true. Here's why. And I totally missed saying this last week. And really, it was a huge point with what I was talking about. But where we saw the Jews understand that they were God's chosen people and that God wanted to use them and work through them and all these things, that they could know Him as their Savior and all this stuff. You know, basically, that was the Jewish thought. That was the way that they were brought up. That was what they believed. But then last week we saw in the passage in chapter 10 that basically all that just got destroyed with Jesus. When Jesus came, Jesus didn't just minister to Jews, He ministered to Jew and Gentile. And you're like, well, that still doesn't apply to me. I'm not either one of those. Wrong. You see, the way it works is Jews, they got their thing. Anybody else that's not a Jew is a Gentile. So you and I are Gentiles. And so for us to understand that passage last week in its entirety is for us to recognize that what God did through His Son Jesus on the cross, He did not just for His chosen people of then, He has done for all. He's done for Jew and Gentile. And so you and I, we can know Christ as our Savior, that He could be the one who has saved us from our sin, that we could have a relationship with Him. This is a huge deal. And so, you know, I think that's a good context for us to understand that basically anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. We're Gentiles. Most everybody in the room here is going to be. And so, you know, for us to look at that as we look at this passage today is going to be really important. Let's look at Acts 11. I want us to look at this. Now, those who were scattered, I'm sorry, if you don't have a Bible with you, our ushers are like, what is going on? He's just rolling with it. If you don't have a Bible with you, throw your hand up because our ushers will give you one, even if you left it in the car. If you don't own one, take it. It's a gift. We want you to have it. But Acts chapter 11, and in Acts chapter 11 right here, we see the beginning of the little bit of the telling of something that happened earlier in the book of Acts that we saw, which was people being scattered, you know? I don't know, you know, if you've ever been scattered before, maybe you're scattered now and you didn't realize it. Scattered being this premise, think about this for just a second. You feel like maybe God has taken you and put you in a place where you don't feel like you belong. Maybe it's not like the story ending that you were going to write for yourself. It's not the place that you thought you were going to be, but it's where you are. And you've got to recognize that Jesus is Lord of all, and He's the creator of all things, and He's got a plan, and a part of that plan is wherever you are right now. And it's wherever I am right now. It's wherever we are, and sometimes it's where we are together. And so with this passage, we're going to see the beginning of some of the scattering of the gospel here. And it says this in verse 19, chapter 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. I want to kind of stop right there for a second. This is the telling of just a little bit of how God used the stoning of Stephen. Earlier in the book of Acts, we had a guy named Stephen. He loved Jesus. And he's telling people about Jesus. And the people that didn't love Jesus were basically stoning him to death. In fact, these were religious people. They thought that they were doing some kind of right and good by basically putting this guy, Stephen, down to the point that they literally kill him, throwing stones at him. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But you go back and you look at that passage of Scripture, and that passage of Scripture in and of itself gives us a lot of insight to how sometimes God can use suffering or use horrible things for His glory. If you look at that passage, you'll see Stephen, as they are stoning him to death, he's praying for them. He's asking God to forgive them. And amongst those people that were a part of the stoning, although we don't see him throwing stones, he's a part as one of the officials in the midst of the people, we see a guy by the name of Saul. Now we later see Saul have this amazing happening between him and God where God saves him. I mean, just blinds him, saves him. It's an amazing, crazy thing. And so basically out of what happened with Stephen, this horrible, wretched, terrible thing that people would come and stone him because he's teaching about Jesus, out of that, God is glorified. And He shows His grace. He shows a level of grace that you and I would really struggle with. He saves Saul. He saves one of the guys that's stoning him to death. That's a part of that process. He does something else. He scatters people. People that were preaching Christ. I mean, think about it. This guy gets killed because he's been teaching about Jesus. Other people that are loving Christ, teaching about Jesus, they go everywhere. They're all over the place. And all of a sudden, what has happened is God is not only going to be glorified through showing what level of grace that He has by saving a guy like Saul, who was a part of Stephen's death, but He's also glorified in the fact that He uses this moment to scatter the people so that they won't be some holy huddle, bubble, Christian community thing where they just hold it all inside and nobody else gets to hear about it and the gospel goes out. It's amazing. And it's a part of God's plan. And so right here we see those that have been scattered, when it's talking about, that's talking about, it says, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Okay? So now we're still, the gospel is going out, but it's only going out to Jews. But because of what happened last week, it became clear that the gospel was not just for the Jews. And so some things happened here in verse 20. It says, but there were some of them men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the Hellenists were basically Greek-speaking Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were people that you know, they're getting to hear about the gospel. And of course, we have what we had last week, which is an understanding of that the gospel is not just for the Jews now. The gospel wasn't for the Jews. The gospel is for everyone. And in verse 21, after this hearing of the gospel being preached to these folks that were not Jews, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." So now we've got people, you know, a whole group of people that haven't heard about Christ before, and now they're hearing about Christ, and in the midst of hearing about Christ, their lives are being changed because they're being saved. God is completely making them over. He's redeeming them from themselves, saving them from their sins, making them new people. And in verse 22 it says, "The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch." I want to stop and talk about Barnabas, because I love me some Barnabas. I really do. I mean, this guy is an amazing. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to talk about it again, because you just need. I think it connects with a lot of people. You know, we have guys in Scripture that we see like Saul. Or Luke, or John, or, you know, Simon Peter, or, you know, whoever it is, that we just go, man, those guys are like, they're just, you know, they're beasts, you know? I mean, they're just amazing dudes who love the Lord and just follow after Him, and they really believe. They don't just say they believe, but they follow through with faith. You see faith come out in their lives, and their lives are different because of they truly believe. And so, you know, we see those guys like that. But then we got a guy like Barnabas. And really, you know, for a lot of people, if they were looking at Scripture and reading through Scripture, it would be one of those things that would be a temptation, I think, to just kind of miss who Barnabas really is. And Barnabas, although he may not be what people might consider to be like a major player, I think that he is. I think that God uses him to do incredible things, and I think that for the most of us, we can connect with that, because a lot of us are thinking, you know, I'm not that guy. I'm not like some, you know, great. I'm not ever going to probably be like, you know, the guy to do this or to lead people in doing that or whatever for God. But Barnabas, just an everyday guy. And Barnabas, his name, by the way, means son of encouragement. And that speaks to his life. Son of encouragement speaks to the life of Barnabas. And to be honest with you, I think we have a lot to learn from Barnabas. We'll talk about a few of those things. But I think one of the things that we see here that's really cool is that, again, verse 22 says this, that the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Okay? So Jerusalem is kind of like home base, all right, for the Jews. And it's home base for where we've begun to see like Christianity begin to really spring up and God really begin to work in people and out of there be people being scattered out and some of that kind of thing. Of course, it's mostly been for the Jews. And so the report came of this to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent, you hear that? They sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now you've got two cities now. You've got Jerusalem and you've got Antioch. Kind of put this in perspective, this little tale of two cities we've got going on here. Antioch was a newer city. Antioch at the time was probably like 300 years old. Jerusalem was kind of the it place. Everybody wanted to be in Jerusalem, and that's where a lot of things were happening. But with Antioch, one of the things that was going on here is you didn't have a whole lot of Jewish, you didn't have as much of the Jewish culture that you would have like in Jerusalem. And so, you know, to Jerusalem, to a Christian in Jerusalem, to even think about Antioch, once you have figured out that the gospel is not just for the Jewish, but it's also for the Gentile, that's a mission field. I mean, just plain and simple. And that's what they begin to see. But I mean, even to get inside the head of somebody like Barnabas, who grew up a Jew and grew up, you know, that was the culture, and that, you know, you didn't associate with these other people and you didn't have anything to do with these other people. And basically, for lack of better terms, I mean, basically just racism, you know, that Barnabas probably grew up around and grew up being taught and that kind of thing has just recently been shattered, and now all of a sudden they're hearing about what God is doing with this group of people that they wouldn't have anything to do with before. So for the church in Jerusalem to send Barnabas And for him to be willing to go to Antioch was this huge deal. And just think about this. Think about being, you know, I'm thinking about being like Barnabas, thinking about, you know, probably only ever seeing God work in, you know, these certain ways. And then all of a sudden he goes into the city and he sees God working in people's lives that he's been taught most of his life can't happen. This is like an earth-shattering moment for this guy. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. And look at what he says. Look at what he saw. Verse 23. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He came and he saw the grace of God. I don't know if you've ever seen the grace of God or not. I have. It's you know, and if we're not careful, I think we take something like that, we make it into some kind of like, woo, Scooby-Doo, you know, where are you type thing. You know, here's the deal. The grace of God, we see the grace of God just in the story of Saul that we just talked about a few minutes ago. A guy that was killing people, much less people that were teaching about Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he can be saved, like despite the horrible things he's done, God would have grace on him. God would allow him to have a relationship with him. I mean, this is huge. That's the grace of God. I saw the grace of God this week in our church. I got to come for just a few minutes and meet with our deacons the other night as we prayed over a family that's going through some stuff. And honestly, I don't know, part of it is, it's a lot of things, and I'm not really willing to unpack it right now, to be honest with you. Part of it is, God, you know, led us to start a church here many years ago, and we did so. And then to get to be with a group of people that you know, their heart is to just see God glorified in this church body. Maybe even more than myself some days, because I'm a sinner, okay? You know, it just overwhelmed me the other night to be with them, and I walked away just feeling like there was an amazing amount of God's grace just getting to be with those people, that they love people and they love Jesus the way they do. Barnabas went in to Antioch and got to see the grace of God on a group of people he had been taught God wouldn't have anything to do with. Tell me he wasn't moved. Tell me that it didn't just crawl all over him what God was doing in this group of people. I mean, and it did. And we see that it did. And he turns around and he encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And so right there, Barnabas takes this moment. He sees God moving, and instead of just, you know, kind of filtering himself to the back and not being a part of what's going on, he takes a moment to encourage them, and he says, guys, let me encourage you. Remain faithful. Remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. That's hard to do. Being faithful by itself, remaining faithful by itself, really means that we believe. You know, it's not fake Christianity. It's not Sunday morning Christianity. It's not your daddy's Christianity or your grandma's or whatever. It's and I'm not saying that they are not, but I'm saying you can't ride on their coattails, okay? I hope you get that. Not trying to call out your daddy or your grandma, okay? Get anybody send me hate mail before it's over. But, you know, I think for us just to get a glimpse here of that when we believe that Jesus is our Lord, all of our faith is in Him. Not some of it, not the Sunday morning portion of it, and the rest of the week we're going to do with what we want. I mean, like the whole thing. I mean, if Jesus really is the Lord of our lives, then we believe that He is over all of those things, and we don't have to worry about those things. And the fact that we worry and are anxious prove that we're not allowing Him to be the Lord over all of our lives. That's very challenging for us. We've talked about this a couple times recently. So he exhorts them, he encourages them, he says, remain faithful to the Lord. He's saying, don't wander from God being the Lord of your life, from Jesus being the Lord of your life. He is. Let Him be. Let your faith remain in that and act on it. If God leads you to do something, don't be worried about it, because He's the Lord over all things. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the Redeemer. But He didn't stop there. He doesn't just stop and say, "Hey, you guys just stay strong," right? I mean, that's like us, you know, stay strong, you know. I mean, we'd be good with that. We'd be like, "Oh yeah, that's good. We put that in a movie, you know, stay strong." But He goes further. He says, "Remain faithful, stay strong to the Lord with steadfast purpose." Steadfast purpose. First of all, purpose we got to figure out. Like, what is our purpose? Steadfast means it's like something we don't clock in and clock out. It's like we're on. Like, we're going to do this and we're going to stay with it. Let's go to purpose. For purpose, and we teach this a lot here, and if you've been around, you've heard it, but if not, we all need to be reminded of it. We were created with a purpose. I don't know if you realize that or not. Rick Warren's made a lot of money on books just writing about this one thing, and I'm glad he did, to be honest with you, because a lot of people have begun to understand it. God created us to worship Him. Let me put it this way. God created us to worship. Now, here's what happens. Because you and I were like, God created us to worship Him? I don't think I've been worshiping Him very much lately. Well, here's the deal. God created us with this need to worship, and it's supposed to be for Him. But the truth is we take it and we worship all kinds of stuff with it. I mean, we'll worship money, we'll worship stuff, we'll worship a person. You know, oh, if I could just have this person in my life, they would make me complete. Wrong. They will let you down. They are sinners, okay? So are you. Wake up. So, with the understanding that God created us to worship, and the fact that we can understand that other things end up getting on the throne in our life instead of Him a lot of times, this is this constant fight and challenge that we would constantly come back and seek Him and recognize in those moments in our lives when we're allowing something else to be more important to Him than He is, and more important to us than He is. God created us to worship, to glorify Him, to make Him known, okay? When I say glorify Him, I'm talking about to make Him famous. God created us to make Him famous, that your friends, your family, that the people that know you in your life would know Jesus because they know you, okay? That'll check you in right there on whether or not you might be doing the Sunday morning thing like I believe in Jesus. I mean, really? Do you really believe? Is He really the Lord of your life, or is He the Lord of your Sunday mornings? I'll be honest with you, the Lord of the Sunday morning thing by itself, it's not fun. That's just playing a game. Playing a game with God, like, oh, I'm gonna try to be a good person. You'll be a good person if you really believe in Christ. And if He's really the Lord of your life, you won't help but want to do the things that you should do. It won't be based around you trying to check a list off, okay? That's legalism. God didn't send His Son to die for us that we would use checklists. He sent His Son to die for us that He would change us and make us into the nature of Him that others would see Him in us, that He would be glorified. So there's our purpose. Now we're called to it, to be steadfast in it. Which again means we can't clock in and clock out. This is our life. We got to make a decision. Like, we got to follow. This is what we're going to do. And yeah, we're going to stray. We're going to fall off the wagon because we're sinners and we can't do it. But that's just it. We can't do it alone. We need Him. He has to guide us. He has to lead us. Which leads me to the next part. Verse 24 right there. It says, "For he was a good man." Talking about Barnabas here. My boy, "for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." Meaning two things. he was really a believer because Luke, as he's penning this, saw Barnabas's faith. He saw his faith. He saw that he believed. When you see somebody that believes, it's because you've seen their faith in action. They're not just talking about it. They're not just full of hot air. Their life is different. They glorify Jesus. He saw that in Barnabas. But he also saw in him that he was full of the Holy Spirit, meaning that he allowed God to lead him in doing whatever God led him to do. I mean, just think about this for just a second. You and I both know that on a daily basis, we have decisions put in front of us. We have moments in front of us where we can go this way, we can go that way. And at the end of the day, the question is, where is it that God wants us to be going? Being led by the Spirit is allowing God to lead us through all of the decisions of our lives. Let me tell you something. How to put this into words. I'm trying to think of putting this into words for somebody that's never gotten to experience it. If you are living in the middle of the mission of God, if you're living in God's will, if you're doing what He's wanting you to do, if you're getting to experience what that's like, here's something that's going to happen. I'm telling you this because I've gotten experience several times in my life. Several times in my life, I've jacked it up. At the end of the day, we can't mess up God's will. But for us, when we're following Christ and we're believing in Him and our faith is in Him and He's the Lord of our life, there will be moments in your life where you will know without a shadow of a doubt that God is leading you to do something for Him. It's usually not for us. It's for Him. Let me help you to understand something. Unless you're living in that place, my experience is that God doesn't speak to me about those things a lot of times. It's because I'm not listening. It's because I'm not where I need to be. I'm not being faithful. And with me not being faithful, I mean, why in the world would He give me? I mean, Scripture teaches us it's when we're faithful that He gives us more to deal with, to do for Him, for His kingdom. But when you are there and He gives you something that you know that He is leading you to do. And maybe God's leading somebody in here. Maybe He's leading you, a whole bunch of you. And I believe that He probably is. Leading a whole bunch of you to do different things for His glory, for His kingdom. Let me just tell you something. When Jesus is really the Lord of your life and you really believe in Him, you won't even think twice about doing it. You'll just do it. And it may seem like some of the craziest stuff to people around you. Maybe God wants to use you to do something that seems crazy to this world, alien almost, as Scripture would even say, because He wants to scatter you. He wants to use you for His kingdom. I personally had my life planned out, and planting a church wasn't part of it. Being a pastor wasn't part of it. But when we follow Jesus and we truly let our guard down and we let Him be the Lord, when He leads us to do it, we won't want to say no. Because we'll know in our hearts that there must be something incredible that God has that He wants to do to use us for His kingdom. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And I love this. And a great many people were added to the Lord. And this is speaking of God using what's going on here at the church in Antioch and using Barnabas at this point too. And I want to speak to that for just 1 second, because that adding to the number piece applies to 24 Church right now for sure. Maybe you haven't noticed. We've had larger crowds here lately. It's been awesome. I mean, it's just been a testimony to what God is doing. And I want to make that clear. I want to make it clear that it's a testimony to something that God is doing. It's not a testimony to something that we're doing. We didn't develop some marketing strategy at the end of last year and go, well, hey, well, at the beginning of the year, we're going to do this, and we're going to teach on that. We're going to try to get large crowds to come, and you know, we'll build some momentum, and then we'll shoot off some fireworks or something. You know, first of all, we don't have any money for fireworks. We would probably have to use sparklers. I might bring some for you next week. I think I've got some in the basement. But I want us to be careful that we don't become like the people that were at the Tower of Babel that we see in the Old Testament, where they get to this point where they decide that they're going to build this thing to make it happen. They're going to build their own hands. We're going to do this. We're going to make something happen. We're going to get closer to God than anybody. And in the end, they step back and look at it and they say, look at what we did. I don't want us to ever say that. I want us to always say, and not fake, not phony junk here. I'm talking about, like, I want us to recognize in our hearts that we can look at what God is doing, and it is because it's what He has done, not what we've done. That's important. It's important for our church. It's important that we keep that posture. It's important that we have that humility to recognize that God gives and He takes away at all times. And as great as this is at this moment, and that we're running out of seats, literally last week ran out of seats, like had no more chairs in the entire church to use. To Him be the glory for that. To Him be the glory that many people are getting to hear the gospel preached, and that we're getting to come together and getting to just sing our praise to Him and be changed by Him and His Word. Verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, which is where Saul was from. We don't know what he was doing there. Well, we do know what he was doing there. He was spreading the gospel, because we saw that in a passage before. But he'd gone to Tarsus to share about Christ. And then in verse 26, and the understanding here is that basically Barnabas called in the reinforcements. Barnabas gets into Antioch, sees what's going on. He's like, man, I need some help. He goes to get Saul. And in verse 26, and it says, when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. First of all, we see Barnabas and Saul commit a year of their lives to meeting with this group of people. And I think for us, I think we might think, oh, well, they're getting together on Sundays, you know. Or they're getting together, and we'll go old school Southern, you know, whatever. They're getting together Sundays and Wednesday nights, you know. That's what they're doing. That's what they've got going on. No. They have moved in with these people, okay? They have moved there to be with them and to live with them. And they were there to teach them about Jesus, everything that they could. And a whole year doing so. And this is a great picture of discipleship. This is a great picture of making disciples. But I'll be honest with you. I think I know Barnabas well enough to know especially that a guy like him didn't do this and just go in acting like he was the big deal. You know? He went in humbly, loving these people, to disciple them, to share Christ with them, to live with them, to serve them. And here's the question that I have for us right now. We think about our schedules, and we look at our schedules, and man, we stink and worship our schedules. Like, don't jack with my time here or there or whatever. And for us to even think about taking a little time out every week, couple hours, few hours a week, to spend with other people that we might be pushed on to what it looks like to follow Christ. I mean, don't even talk to us about that. Let me encourage you with something. I don't want to guilt trip people with this. That's not my intention. I want us to just seriously ask ourselves, What are we worshiping? What is it in this life that is so important to us that we can't do that? that we can't live our lives with other people. And obviously we've got ways that we try to help people with that, with the community groups and things that we have here. And there'll be an opportunity for you to come talk to people afterwards about that. But I want to encourage you, don't take anything I've said right here in just the last couple minutes as some kind of guilt trip. I just want you to seek the Lord about it. There's not a one of us in this room that doesn't need people in our lives that will love us and push us to Jesus, like what Saul and Barnabas were doing for a year with these people before they moved on to do it with somebody else. They met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. This Christian term, by the way, was a derogatory term. They weren't being called Christians like, oh, how cool, you're a Christian, that's awesome, you know? That was not it at all. It was, in fact, the word Christian means little Christ. They were calling them little Christs. But the whole thing kind of backfires on the culture at that moment, because them calling them little Christ was exactly what they understood that people needed to see in them was Christ. So they were like, awesome, we'll take that. We'll be Christians. We're good with it. If Jesus is what you're seeing in us, mission accomplished. Verse 27, I want to read the rest of this real quick, says this. It says, now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And here we have again, like the church in Jerusalem sending out more people to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. Now, this is a famine. This is like a legitimate, like we can go back and look in history. Again, this isn't stories that we're reading out of, you know, Mother Goose. This is history. This stuff happened. And so here this famine was starting. It was actually starting to sweep into Jerusalem. And this guy's telling of it here now in Antioch. And it says in verse 29, so the disciples determined, and I love this, everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So, early church in Antioch learns of this famine going through Judea. And what'd they do? They sent help. They sent help. I start reading the famine thing. You know what I automatically think of? I think of what it's like around here when it snows. I know what you've been doing. I saw you at the grocery store getting your milk and your bread and your cookies. Because heaven forbid we run out of cookies if we get snowed in for 12 hours, right? As funny as that is, I mean, the truth is like this was legit. This was real deal. This was a famine. And the church saw the need, and it says, and everyone according to his ability, and I love this line, we're going to talk about it, to send relief to the brothers. Let me ask you a question. What abilities has God given you? What abilities do you have? What education do you have? What knowledge do you have? And did you realize that God didn't give you any of them accidentally, but that you have every single one of them to bring Him glory? I think of when we went to Alabama to help people that were hit by tornadoes, complete devastation. And we had guys on our crews that could do amazing things. In fact, we had an owner of an excavating company that went with us, and he took a bunch of his workers and all of their equipment. And it was amazing. It was unbelievable. And And these guys, there was one guy with us that specifically, like you could ask anybody on that trip, you know, there was one guy in particular that like he knew how to cut something down with a chainsaw. And when it was time that nobody else was real sure of what to do, everybody got back, stood out of his way, and let him do his thing because he knew what was up. That's what he's been doing his whole life. Go Bubba. Go Bubba. That's right. And that was his ability. For some of us, our ability was dragging tree branches to the road. You know? And we were okay with that because it needed to be done. I think for us to start to recognize how God has created us and made us and given us purpose, and using Barnabas' words that we would remain faithful with steadfast purpose in our lives, that God might use our abilities for His glory, is a huge piece of our lives that we may be missing. And that the church in general might be missing out on because we've stepped away from the plate, so to speak. We've just said, no more. I just want to feed. Jesus didn't come to be served, He came to serve. He called us to that. If we look at passages like Jeremiah 29, if we're looking for purpose, if you look at Jeremiah 29, verse 4, just read it, you can read it on the screen with me. It says this, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." This is God's people He sent into exile. This is not where they wanted to be. So if you're not where you want to be right now in life, maybe you can identify with this. And He tells them, He's put them there for a reason, and He says to them, He doesn't say to them, "Just hang on until I get you out of there." Verse 5 says, "Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons." This is talking about intermarrying with a different group of people. This is a big deal. "And give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare." And maybe God's put you somewhere. Maybe He scattered you somewhere unexpectedly. And instead of hating it so much, what if you became a champion for it, for the kingdom of God? What if you built a house there and you planted your gardens and you started businesses and you made the community better because you're there to be a light, and you begin to pray for it and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. God's given us purpose. And He's given us abilities. So let's talk about abilities. What's your abilities? You build stuff? You good at that? That's awesome. I admire people that can do that. It's amazing to me. Well, guess what? Turns out that here in Cheatham County alone, we have learned that there are several people in this county, several, that need wheelchair ramps. And we're going to help build them. And you may be one of those people and be like, "You know what? I'm so good at doing that, I could build it by myself in 2 hours. Well, good. Because we're going to have a competition. Because we've got some cocky dudes in this church that believe they can do that. And so I just put it up to them and was like, "Well, we're going to do it then." And they're like, "All right." And we finally made contact with some of the folks that are in charge of trying to help us to do this. Didn't know it would be such red tape to get through to just try to go build some wheelchair ramps, but it is. So we're doing it. We're jumping through the hoops, and we're going to do that. And you go, "Well, mate, I can't build a wheelchair ramp." Well, fine. Can you bring lunch to the people that can? Can you hold a stinking hammer for somebody while they're putting a board in place or something? Can you pick up their trash? Can you minister to the person that is stuck in their house because they can't get out on their own? Can you love on them? Can you watch TV with them while the ramp's being built? Maybe your ability is that you're an entrepreneur. Maybe you're supposed to start businesses here and be a part of that welfare piece of Jeremiah 29 to help the economy, to give people jobs. I know that sounds crazy, but God's going to lead somebody. Listen, you don't think that, if you think that sounds crazy, you ought to go with this whole start a church thing, okay? telling you. You got a TV? You got a house to watch it in? There's a football game on tonight. How are you using that for the glory of God? Invite people over. Stay today after this service, I dare you, and find people that don't have anywhere to go tonight, and you hang out with them. And you learn about what God's done in their life. Just say, I want to hear your story. What's your story? Come to my house, eat my hot wings. What's your favorite kind of hot wings? I'm going to go get them for you. You can ask me that too if you want to. Okay? Just kidding. We're having a party. But we're doing the same thing. I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not doing. All right? Invite your neighbors to come be a part, to sit at your dinner table. You have food? There's some people that don't have a lot of food right now. There's some people that look like they've got it all together and they're not sure if they're going to be able to buy groceries this week. And they may be riding around in a more expensive car than you are. But I'm just here to tell you, the fact that you might be willing to minister to them because you want to make a pot of chili this week and you know you can't eat it all, invite people to come sit at your table, your neighbors, people that you've never met that you're going to invite before you leave here today, people that are sitting here, sitting on the same row as you. You're gonna hit them up and they're going to look at you like you got 10 eyes. Just tell them there's food, okay? It's the South. People eat. Abilities. You got the ability to give. You say, well, I don't feel like we have the ability to give right now because our finances are so tough. I hear you. I understand. I really do. I promise you. I'm here to tell you that we all have that ability. And it's not about a quantity. It's about our heart and allowing God to lead us with whatever that is. Again, is He the Lord of all? Is He the Lord of everything that you have? And I don't ever do like money, guilt, like guilt people into giving things. But I'll say this, and it doesn't come with guilt. So just hear it then. We actually do need chairs. We need to buy another 60 chairs. And I think they're like, I don't know, they're probably $30 to $35 a piece or something like that. So we're going to have to buy some more chairs. It's going to mean we're going to need some money. And to be honest with you, like in December, we made our bills and it was a great month giving as far as like we made our bills. We always consider that a great month. January has been hard. And I have no idea why. I don't know if it's because of tax cuts. I have no idea what it is. And again, I don't do any, so don't say any of this, share any of this for guilt. I'm just merely asking, just pray and seek the Lord and don't haphazardly give, but give the way He wants you to give and let Him lead you in that. What about prayer? You got the ability to pray? Got the ability to pray for your city, for your community, for your neighbors, for people that you know that are hard to deal with, for those that don't know Christ? Could you pray that God would give you opportunities to share Jesus with them or to be Jesus to them? Let me tell you something. Don't pray for something you're not ready to deal with. Okay? God answers prayer if we really believe Him. If we pray with our hearts and it's in line with His will, He answers prayer. And He'll answer your prayer. Maybe be a part of the prayer team. We're going to talk about that in just a sec at the very end. Maybe you are supposed to be a part of creating something new. A new ministry. Maybe you see a need in the community. Maybe you see that there's a need for a job fair. Maybe we need to do one here. Maybe it's some other kind of community service. Maybe you're supposed to be a Barnabas. Maybe you're supposed to be an encourager. I mean, let's just face it. We got plenty of discouragement going on these days, right? We need some encouragement. We need people in our lives that will encourage us in the gospel, in who Jesus is and what He's done. And I just want to encourage you that's a part of what God has called us to. That we could be a part of that for one another. That we could be in community with one another. Again, this is giving up some time out of our precious schedules because we're so important and we got so much important junk going on. Man, let's move past that. Let's have relationships with people that love Jesus and that we know will push us toward Him. Be encouraged by them and be a part of encouraging them. Maybe it's just that because we live our lives in loving Christ and loving others, that we become known as little Christs. Could that be so bad that people would know us as believers? That we're people with real faith and we tell stories of great things that God has done because we've lived in the middle of that? Here's the truth. It starts here. It starts within us that we need to love one another. We need to minister to one another. There's plenty of opportunity right here within the church, but we're also called to do it in our community, and we're also called to do it abroad. And we can't ignore any of them. We've got to pay attention to it. And we've got to fulfill the things that God leads us to do. And God will work it out. And whether He uses us in disasters or it's us starting other churches, at the end of the day, the goal is the same goal that the Holy Spirit itself has, and that is to exalt Christ. That we would make Him known. Here's the deal. You and I have abilities. But if we're not careful, our abilities, if we go out and we just build good things, we'll just be building things that don't last. But, and there's a big but here, all right? If we let the Spirit lead us in using those same abilities, we won't build things that don't last. We will build things that last forever. And it's called His kingdom. And you and I can be a part of that. And we can use our abilities and our loves and our hobbies or whatever it is, our training and our education and our friendships and our relationships for His glory. And that's the steadfast purpose that Barnabas is encouraging us to be faithful to. Remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Fulfill your calling. As we said a couple weeks ago, wake up, sweetheart. It's time to go. Let's pray.